Good morning, men. Good to be back with you. I was running a tad behind this morning, but good to be here. Ephesians 2, we're turning the corner into chapter 2 this morning. Going to look at two different walks of life as it compares a walk of life that follows one lead, and then it compares a walk of life that follows another lead. And we're going to walk differently according to who we're following, and we're going to walk differently if we've been set free to follow the true master as well. This is a great portion of Scripture. It's a portion of Scripture that me, having grown up in the church, truly appreciates because it shows me who I was before Christ. Because honestly, if it weren't for God's Word, I would have thought I was a pretty good guy. I grew up in the church from day one. Was in the nursery at church growing up. I mean, I don't remember a time where I wandered far from the faith. But reality, truth is that I was an object of His wrath. I was by nature a child of wrath, and I wouldn't have known that unless the truth had told me that and shown me that. And now that my eyes have been opened to that, I look back and I would agree with that. But without truth, we can be lied to. Without truth, we can believe falsehood. Without truth, we can wander. So praise the Lord for His truth, especially here, as it really sets the gospel before us this morning. And I'll start with chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll go down, work our way down through verse 10. And we'll see these two different walks of life depending on who we're following. And we praise the Lord that He set us free to follow Him. So, Ephesians 2, 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to pray for us one more time, and then we'll walk through this. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And Lord, it's the very nourishment that we need for this week. It's the very nourishment that we need for this day. I pray that You would use it to strengthen our inner man. I pray that You would use it to pierce into the dark areas of our heart that we oftentimes won't let You into or hide or try to protect. Lord, I pray that You would use it this morning to correct us in those areas and rebuke us and reprove us. I pray that You would also use it to teach us and to train us in righteousness so that we would be equipped for the good works that You have for us to walk in, and then that You would empower us this week to walk in those works. Lord, please lead us rightly through this passage this morning. Help us to hear from You and Your truth, and may it transform us. In Christ's name, amen. What a great reminder of who we are before Christ, and we need to allow this reminder oftentimes to sink down deep in our soul, especially the longer down the road with Christ we go. It's a great reminder how far we've come, and it's how far we've come because of His grace. A lot of us might not realize that, yes, before we surrendered to Christ, even if we were surrendered to Him at a young age, before that surrender, before that grace was poured out, before that faith came as a gift from Him, that we were dead. We weren't living. We were dead. We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. We had a pattern of life. Even if I came to know the Lord at the early age of 5, I had a pattern of life that was trespassing in sin. And without Christ setting me free from that, I was dead to that. Trespassing, going where I shouldn't go, sinning, going my own way. That's what Adam and Eve did. They went where they shouldn't have gone. They went their own way. They were deceived by the great deceiver. They started to think and believe their own thoughts that might have been implanted there by the deceiver, but it was their own thoughts. It wasn't the Lord's thoughts. Sin, when we wander away from doing things that the Lord has called us to, and we trespass His law, we go against His law because we think our way is better. We think our way is better, and we're so tempted still to go back and walk in these ways because we're so tempted still by the great deceiver to say, hey, do you think that God's Word is really right in this area? Do you think that He really desires your best? Just like He spoke to Eve. No, Eve, if you take this fruit, then you will be like Him. And she starts thinking, you know what? Wouldn't that be great if I could be like Him, if I could have more wisdom, if I could have more understanding? And so she reaches out and she touches the fruit and nothing happens. She didn't get zapped. And she thinks, okay, well, this is all right. And then she pulls it off the branch and the branch, you know, it bends down from her pull and goes back up and it's sitting there. Nothing's happened. I'm all right. And so this temptation drawing her in. She's thinking her own thoughts. She's not thinking the ways of the Lord. And then, of course, she takes the fruit. And then she realizes after that sin entered the world, death entered the world. And it was all because of the deception of Satan, all because Eve and Adam would not listen to and believe by faith in God's Word. And so we still, even though now I am in Christ, like Paul wrestled with in Romans 7, hey, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. But then he goes on, he says, who can save me from this wretched man that I am? Praise be to Christ Jesus for His salvation and His deliverance. But so often, we're still tempted to go back into that nature. And instead of fleeing the temptation, we play with the temptation. We think, I can get to that part of the line and I can cross over. We used to do this low ropes event when I worked for a Christian camp. And the event was there was a certain line in the dirt that you couldn't cross. You had to get to this island over here and you had some tools to use to get to that little island. And we'd do a big story about it. And we'd say, you can't cross this line. If you cross this line, you know, we'd tell them there was a great pit of piranhas or something there that would eat them. We'd make up a big story. And it was this challenge that they would have to do, the problem they would have to solve. And so often, these kids who were trying to do it, or even adults who were trying to get over there, man, they would be all up on this line. And I'd be watching that line, and sure enough, one of them's foot would just barely cross the line. And I'd say, you just got eaten. You know, your leg just got devoured by a pit of piranhas. And now your whole team is destroyed because it got gangrene and you pass it on to your whole team. We'd make up some event. But one of the things we said, guys, you try to get so close to that line. You try to get so close to that temptation. You try to flirt with that sin. When the Bible says, flee it. The Bible says, stay far from it. Because the truth, God knows the truth. And the truth is that sin, that trespass leads to death. And before Christ, we were dead. We were dead in those trespasses and sins. And dead men do nothing. I enjoy hunting. And when you kill an animal, my dad used to do a lot of bird hunting in South Georgia. But then when I was born, really, the birds in South Georgia were no longer really there. There weren't a lot of just native quail anymore in South Georgia. And so he didn't really do a lot of deer hunting, but my uncle deer hunted. And so I would go with my uncle a lot, and he taught me, hey, if you kill a deer, you know, approach it properly and make sure that it's dead before you get up on it. You know, you've heard stories of guys who got up on there and the deer really wasn't dead. I've known guys who put squirrels in their pack, you know, thinking that the squirrel was dead. And the next thing they knew, they had the squirrel went berserk in their pouch. I don't know if y'all heard that Ray Stevens song about the squirrel that went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church. It's a good song. Pretty funny song, but I've had guys that you know, had the squirrels go crazy on them and come out and crawl over their head, because the squirrel wasn't dead. It was just knocked out. When you approach a deer, you want to make sure it's dead and it's knocked out. But when it's dead, it doesn't do anything. It's dead. You can sit there and move the head around on a deer. It's not going to do anything because it's dead. And it has no ability to do anything. When we were dead in our trespasses, we're dead. We can't bring life back to ourselves. No, we're dead. Not sin sick, but sin dead. And it's good to remember that, because that's bad news. Because the dead man can't help himself. The dead man can do nothing for himself. He can't revitalize himself. He can't resurrect himself. No, he's dead. And what brought that death is trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Why were you dead? Because of trespasses and sins. Why did you trespass and sin? Because you followed the course of this world. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to destruction. And we need to remember that even on this side of grace. We need to remember that. It's so tempting to go back to the ways that seem right to a man. But we need to remember that when those ways lead to trespassing and God's law and sinning against Him, then they're going to lead to death. So who are we following? Are we following the course of this world? Are we following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience? When we follow the deception of Satan, when we follow the course of this world, the flesh, the devil, when we follow their leading, it's going to end up with trespassing God's law. It's going to end up with sinning, going our own way, and it's going to end up in death. This is how we all once continually walked. But now, praise be to God, He's done a great work in us. But going on in verse 3, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. When you oppose God, you're going to be a recipient of His wrath. For those who still continue to walk in disobedience, they will be on the receiving end of God's wrath. But those who have been called from darkness into light, Christ was on the receiving end of that wrath. And He'll go on and He'll mention this in a moment in a beautiful way. But we need to sometimes pause at verse 3 and think about, what if Christ would not have come? What if Christ would not have called me by my name? What if He would not have adopted me? What if He would not have forgiven me? What if He would not have redeemed me? What if He would not have saved me? Am I good enough to get into heaven? Well, I've been at Briarwood for a long, long time. Briarwood's a great church. Briarwood's had great preaching. I helped out in this ministry. I did all these great works. What He was saying here is, hey, because of your trespasses and sins, you are dead and you can do nothing. You can do no good because you are lifeless. You are without life and you are by nature a child of wrath. He says, I like this because he's comparing there in verse 3. He's comparing Jew and Gentile. He says, among whom we all once lived. We all, Paul, me, a Jew, speaking to those in Ephesus, you Gentiles, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. You Gentiles lived in the passions of your flesh. You Gentiles were immoral. You Gentiles were apart from the law. And y'all lived apart from the law as immoral. And you carried out the desires of the body. But we Jews carried out the desires of the mind. We were all by nature children of wrath. All. Whether you are seeking salvation in your self-righteousness, whether you are seeking life's pleasures and desires through the flesh, we are all by nature children of wrath. And he's putting Jew and Gentile all in one group right there. It doesn't matter if your righteousness, your self-righteousness outdoes the next guy's self-righteousness, whose self-righteousness outdoes the next guy. No, without Christ, you're dead, and your self-righteousness is filthy rags to God. And so it's good to sit there and let 1 through 3 soak in, because we realize that if Christ wouldn't have shown up on the scene, then we were dead without hope, without any kind of hope, without any kind of chance. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then verse 4, those first two words there are amazing words in Scripture. When you see those two words show up, it means there's good news. There's joy in the morning. There's something on the horizon. Because when you once were dead, when you once were a child of God's wrath, when you once followed the deceiver into his darkness of destruction, but God showed up on the scene. And why did he show up? Because he was rich in mercy. Why was he rich in mercy? Because of the great love with which he loved us. His mercy flowed from his love. Mercy is pity. He had pity upon you because he looked down and saw that you truly were harassed and helpless without a shepherd. You had no hope. You had no joy. You had no peace because you had no Christ and you had no light. So you walked continually in darkness. And without him showing up, you were going to be the recipient of his full wrath. But God being rich in mercy, not just but God in mercy, but God being rich in mercy. He had an abundance of mercy. He overflowed with mercy. He had super mercy on you. And not only just did he love you, but he has great love for you because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. What an amazing thought that is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So today, if you have been adopted by him, if you are his child, and you find yourself leaning towards the temptations of the enemy, leaning towards the flesh, then you find yourself crossing that line into sin. Run to the Father. Because even when you were dead, he had a great love and mercy for you. How much more now that you are his son, will he welcome you back? Just like the prodigal's father, who ran to him and embraced him and fell upon him. The Father loves the Son. And because God has great love for you and he's rich in mercy, when you sin, be quick to confess it. Be quick to call upon the Lord. Don't hide from it. He already knows it. He knew it from the beginning of time. And while you were a sinner, wandering far from you, while you were an object of his wrath, he cast his love upon you. He called you. He chose you. And he brought you into his family. Now that you are his family, when you fall, when you stumble, when you stutter, repent, confess quickly and turn to the Father because his great love with which he loves you, even in this moment. Even in that moment, his love is calling for you to come back. But God is rich in mercy. He has great love, and he loves us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When you once walked in darkness, and the result was death, God made you alive. Your deeds didn't make you alive. There will be many who show up before him on the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all of these things? Did we not do this deed and this work of righteousness? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Deeds don't bring righteousness. Our works don't bring righteousness. We are saved by his grace. We were dead. Dead men do no good deeds. Dead men do nothing but receive his life by grace and receive it as a gift. So we've been brought from death to life. We were objects of his wrath, now we're objects of his affection. And he not only brought us to life, he not only saved us, but he went further. And he raised us up with Christ. And he seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we are seated and secure because of Christ. We're in him. And what a privilege, what a blessing, what a joy, what hope that we have, what confidence this brings us in our day-to-day life. And what, how this should lead us to worship and let our worship flow from a life of obedience because of the great work that He has done. Because we see, man, we were dead in darkness. And now He's brought us to life and light. And this is a work that He has done, not me. Going on there in verse 7, why did He do all of this? Well, He did all of this so that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches. Not just riches, the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He saved us, and then He's going to display His glory through us. That is His desire, that in the coming age, not just in the coming age, just I believe that when Paul is saying this, when you kind of study it, look at it in the language, what is the coming age? Is it when Christ returns? Is it after He returns? I think what Paul's saying here is from the moment of your salvation throughout the rest of the ages, He's going to show the world the immeasurable riches of His kindness towards us. That He's going to bring Himself glory as He shows His kindness. That His kindness, He is kind to us. And He's going to display His kindness upon us from the moment we come to Him, from the moment He adopts us into His family. He's going to show us His kindness. I don't have any adopted children. I know many who do. But when that family adopts that child, from the moment that child is there, that family shows that child their kindness. They pulled this child from an orphanage, from a fatherless and a motherless environment, a familyless environment, and they brought them in to a family. There's some families here that have adopted numerous kids, and when I look at them in worship and I see one particular one, I see him holding one of his girls in worship, and I see them teaching their children about the love of the Lord, and I think, man, those children, some of them had handicaps as well. Man, those children were without hope in an orphanage in a far land. They didn't have family. They didn't have anybody really showing them kindness. But now, no, they're in a new family. And they are receiving the kindness. And they'll receive that kindness all the way through because they're part of the family. So if you're part of the family of God, He, as Father, is going to show you His kindness. Not only, it didn't just stop when He delivered you from the pit of hell and He delivered you into, you know, His kingdom. No, He's going to shower His kindness upon you. Now that you are His child, now that you are no longer a child of wrath, you're a child of His affection. And as a child of His affection, He is going to show you His kindness. And as He shows you His kindness, He's displaying His glory to the world. Why did He save you? Because He's going to be glorified. He is going to be glorified. And one of the ways He's glorified is He shows the world. He shows from now on, He shows His glory, His grace, His mercy, His goodness to the angels, to all those heavenly authorities, to all who have walked the face of the earth. He's going to show them His glory as He shows you kindness. And then verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. This grace is a gift. This faith is a gift. This saving is a gift. When He says, okay, people say, well, is it grace is a gift? Is it faith that is a gift? It's both, because it's salvation that is a gift. Remember, dead men can't rise up and do anything on their own. They simply receive this gift. They receive this gift of oxygen into their lungs. He breathed new life into us, and He brought us in as His children. And it is by grace. It is a gift that we receive, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are not saved by those works. But Paul goes on and says, this is where the place of works fits in here. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not saved because of our good works, but we're saved towards good works. And these are good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there was a time when you walked in death, when you walked in trespassing and sin, and you were by nature an object of God's wrath at that time. But God, because He was rich in mercy, He delivered you from that darkness, brought you into His kingdom, breathed new life into you, and now has prepared you to go and walk in His righteousness, and to go and walk in His obedience. And that walk, that work, flows out of our love for Him. Not to earn His love, but because we love Him. He's designed us and created us for His good works. So when you think about the week ahead, think about, Lord, what are the works that You would have me do? Because I love You so much. Because You've delivered me from darkness. You've brought me into Your kingdom. You've set Your affection upon me. Lord, what am I to walk in? I once walked in darkness. Now let me walk in Your light. I once walked in the desires of the flesh. Now let me walk in the Spirit. I once walked for the pleasures of my own self. Now let me walk for the pleasure of You because of this immeasurable work that You have done. So what a great reminder that God does call us to a certain walk. He does call us to certain lifestyle of works. But those works flow out of His grace, His goodness, His strength, His empowering. So what a joy it is to see that when we once were dead, but now we are alive. And we're alive by His grace. And we're called and prepared and empowered to go and live for His glory as we walk out the works that He has prepared for us. So let me pray and then we can discuss it around the table. Father, thank You for this, Your word. Thank You for a chance to just walk through it, Lord, and seeing that as we once walked in darkness, now You've brought us into light, and now You call us to walk in the works of light, no longer the works that would seek our own pleasure, but the works that would glorify You and serve others. And we do that not to earn Your favor, but we do that because we have Your favor. Lord, thank You so much for bringing us from death to life. Thank You for Your grace that has been poured out, Your pardon. Thank You for Your mercy that it has been showered upon us, Your pity. And then, Lord, thank You that those flow from Your love. And it's a great, immeasurable love. And it's a love that sacrificed the dearest Son. Let us, out of a thankfulness for that love, walk in a manner worthy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.